I just appreciate the fact that I can be with you. But this, while this atmosphere is just still in this place, I just get the opportunity, a bit like this microphone. We never ever think, oh, it's a great microphone. I'm sure it makes my voice sound a bit like Barry White. Can't get enough of your love, babe. But the focus really is Jesus. So like we would focus on the speaker and the microphone really projects his voice or amplifies his voice. Everything that you have seen done on this stage today, we've been that instrument in God's hand to amplify his voice to you, to amplify his presence to you. And just while we're in this time of worship, and in this time of just the presence of God, because you might be used to what you've experienced this morning, and that's great if you are. But never get familiar with the presence of God. It's always about Jesus. It's always about being drawn to Him. It's always about being in that place. And I just want you, just as you are seated across this auditorium, babe, the Spirit of God just wants to connect with you. And just for a moment, I just want you just to let go of the plans that you have. And, this guy's going to speak now and then soon church will be over. I can grab a coffee. I just want you to sit in his presence just for a moment. One of the songs that you sang, I think one of the verses was that, is it lifting the broken to life or raising the broken? Yeah, can we get that verse if that's possible? Because church, what I'm trying to get you to get is this is what God is declaring over you as a group. This building is not the church. You, the people, are the church. And what he's doing right now is just wanting to empower you. We're saying we want more, we want more. And listen, that's out the cry of our heart. But that's just not just a little ditty. That's not just a little thing that we do because we felt a little sense in church. That's a hunger that's birthed, as Helen says. Come on, let's be hungry for this. It's okay to be hungry. Let's not be so plastic. Let's not be so routined about doing church that we miss the very fact of why we've come. Let's be people that go, God, no. I've come to grab a hold of you. God, I'm going to wrestle with you until you touch me. God, I'm going to push through the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood. And God, I'm going to grab a hold of you today because I need that breakthrough. I need that healing. God, I need to know your presence, not know about it, not know in religion. God, I want to know who you are. But church, these words here, it's about that raising the broken to life. He laid his life down so that he would raise the broken to life. And that's why we sit in a place like today. Because he's raising us. The brokenness of our life, he's raising that to life. And the Bible says that in him was light. And in that light was life. He was the life. Or in him was life, and in that was the light to men. In John chapter 1, there is going to come such light into your world right now. There are some people here, by the sound of my voice, that there's been a lot of confusion going, a lot of chaos happening in your world. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants you to know, that there's clarity coming amidst the chaos. We're asking God to take away the chaos, and we're asking God to take away the confusion, but he wants to show a side of him that you've never experienced. And it needs the chaos to reveal that side of him. So don't get caught up in the chaos. Start looking for the clarity. God, what are you trying to show me? Because he's trying to show you there, something there in particular, that some people are going through some family issues. There's been disengagement in regards to family, broken down relationships. And you know, you've been living with that for a while. But God is just wanting you to know today that he's going to give you clarity amidst that confusion. Some of you, where do I go with my life? What do I do with my life? What am I meant to do? I don't know what to do. There's going to come clarity amongst the confusion. Someone here, you just gripped, more than one of you, just gripped by absolute anxiety and fear. and you've been praying against the fear, and hey, listen, that's great to do that. But I want you to see Jesus amidst the fear. I want you to see Jesus amidst the storm that you're facing right now. Come on, he's in your life with you. Your focus is the fear, wrong focus. Don't look there. Look to who Jesus is amidst your fear. Because then you could go through anything, any storm, any struggle, any fear, fearful experience, knowing that Jesus is with you. Because he's with you, it's going to be okay. Because he's with you, it's going to be okay. Because he's with you, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through. You're going to come through. So I'm going to get the worship team to sing this over you. I just want you to sit there. Because out of this, your purpose is starting to become clearer, 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 clearer as a church. I love the fact that you come to church. Awesome. But I don't want you to come to church. I want you to be the church. I'm sure Pastor Nigel and Andrea, that's the whole deal. Come on. I want to take the church when I walk out of this place to my workplace, to the coffee strip, to wherever. I want to take the presence of God. So why don't you close your eyes? Just receive right now. Receive.
Oh, I can see you now.
Come on, look a bit deeper.
Oh, I can see the love in your eyes.
Come on, he's looking at you.
Laying yourself down.
Wow.
And raising up the broken to life. Oh, I can see you now.
It's clarity coming. Come on. I want you to see him amidst your struggle.
I can see the love in your eyes.
He's not condemning you. He's not putting you down.
Laying yourself down.
He's given your life. He's given his life for you.
Raising up the broken to life.
Let's just sing it again. Come on.
Oh, I can see
you. In Jesus' name. New eyes to see.
Oh, I can see the love in your eyes.
Come on, you're looking beyond the circumstance.
Laying yourself
down. Raising up.
And raising up the broken.
Just one more time. Let's sing it, you guys. Let's declare it.
Oh, I can see you now.
Father, I bless you. Father, we glorify you. Father, I pray for vision, for new vision. Lift it up, vision. Jesus. Father, I thank you for every person in this place today. I thank you that this is not just coincidental, Lord, but this is ordained by you. This was orchestrated before time began, that Lord, that this moment would arrive. And so, Father, we step right now into this moment, not holding back, not bored, not distracted, but Lord, we've come around your word because, Lord God, we are desperate to hear from you. Lord God, we hunger to hear from you. I pray that tonight or this morning, Father God, we would be connected to your purpose. I pray that to God that we would get clarity on what you have designed for our lives to be in that purpose. Father, I thank you for the breakthrough that has just been, Lord, not coming, Lord, that this morning that there would be a breaking through, a breaking free, that Lord God, today your people would understand that, Lord, by the power of the living God that resides on the inside of them, that, Lord God, they're going to make it, that your calling is going to be, Lord, realized in their lives, that their healing is going to be manifested, that the power of God is going to be, Lord God, manifested through their lives, where healings will take place, where salvation will take place. And Father God, we don't want to be mediocre. Father God, we don't want to be just by the way, but Father God, we want to be your church, filled with power, filled with your glory, filled with anointing. Father God, to see the breakthrough, to see Fremantle come to know you, Jesus, to see the broken raised to life, to see the broken raised to life, in the name of Jesus. Awesome, 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 awesome. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand as the musicians take their seat. Thank you, guys. That's great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You guys got paid for overtime today. All right, you stay up here. Thanks, Brent. I'm making Brent work extra hard. It's just an amazing presence of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, Romans 11:25, is that correct? 11:15? 11:45? Thank you for the introduction and thank you for hosting, allowing me to be a part. And I want to honor Pastor Nigel and Andrea. They've been just such amazing people in both Leah in our lives. I'll tell you a little bit about me today. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 11:36 is where we're going. But just in this atmosphere, it really just seems pretty lame to talk about me when we can talk about so much about who Jesus is. Can I ask you this question? Do dogs like bones? Okay, you don't sound very convinced. Do dogs like bones? Yeah, okay, they do. But I would suggest to you that if dogs had the option of having bones with meat, I think, or just meat. Now let me ask you, do dogs like bones? If they had that option, if they had the meat and the bones, what do you think they'd go for? Help me out. Meat, yeah. You got to talk to me, people. It's going to be a long day for you. They like meat. But you know what? I've got a German Shepherd and a little, I don't know what, Dustcloth? No, she's not. Little Ebony. She's like a mixie. I don't know what she is. Maltese something, something, something or other. And she's this little black dog. That's obviously Ebony. And then Zach, he's my German Shepherd. He's a big monster of a dog. But Ebony, the one that's smaller, is actually the boss of the whole pack deal. So she rules. She rules. Hello. There it is. She rules the roost. And if I was to bring a bone home, they would be like high-fiving me, you're awesome, thank you very much, and then go chow down on the bone. But if I was to take some meat out, they'd be going, you are the king of all amazing people, thank you so much, and just munch. They probably wouldn't even say anything, they would just eat the meat. I want to relate that to how sometimes as Christians, we can be satisfied with the less. Because, yeah, I like a bone. I like to clean my teeth and chew on it and sharpen my teeth, and that's great. But the meat is what actually gives them nourishment. And today, God just wants to break through a lot of what we've settled for as Christians. We settle for the bone, and the bone's great. And the bone, you know, I get a lot of, it's awesome. I love my Christianity that way because it's great and I know and it's predictable. But God just wants to go, no, there's something more that I really have for you. And today that he's going to cause that to happen in our world. Listen to this scripture here out of Romans 11:36. I will tell you about myself in a second. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever. For of him and through him and to him are all things. For of him, everything is from God. Turn to your neighbor, give him a punch in the shoulder and go, everything's from God. Come on, wake up. Don't be fooled by this music, please. This music's not here to put you to sleep. So for of him and through him and to him are all things. Your job, your marriage, your relationships, it's all from him. Your finance, it's all from him. Love what Sarah had to say. Hey, says, who's in charge? Who's serving who here? You're going to trust me or you're going to tell me what you need me to do for you? Great revelation. It'll change your whole world, and it has. And as God gives us those keys, what it does is it unlocks our world. And as Sarah said, when God spoke of that and gave her that revelation, it opened up her world, her circumstance. Who's the hero there, Sarah? I'm sure she is a hero, but it's not. It's Jesus. Why? Because Jesus spoke to her. He spoke to her through his word. Sarah, I want to unlock this for you, but I need you to get this. Bang, unlock. So everything that is in your life, and look at the last line, to whom be glory forever. Everything that is you and that you have is to give him glory. It's to give him glory. Everything. Not some of it. Everything. So that does that give me a different perspective of how I do my relationship? Does it give me a different perspective of how I do my ministry? Does it give me a different perspective of how I do my job and how I work for my boss? Does it give me a different perspective of how I do the stuff that I need to do? Because everything that is from God, it's from him, he's blessed, he's given, he's appointed it over your life. And it's held together by him. And it's for his glory. It's for his glory. That's why I just want to fill you with absolute confidence today to know what the purpose of God for your life is. Is this verse. The New Living Translation puts it in a really great way. And I can't remember it right now, so read it. But it is that to him and through him, and that he gets glory from my whole life. And I just love the fact that God wants to get glory from your life. Your life is going to give him glory. High five your neighbor and say, your life is going to give him glory. All right, yes. Yeah. I'm actually getting you to talk for a reason. Because I'm going to get you in trouble with Nigel when he comes back. Shut up, don't talk. No. Because guys, I just want to break through. The picture that I had through your worship today is that you're like this, you're just. Now I've got itchy pants or itchy feet, whichever. Let's go with the feet. Pants would be horrible. And I can't stand. And I can't stand in one place during worship or in prayer. I have to walk. I have something wrong with me. I don't know. Maybe back in Africa. I don't know. I'm from South Africa. And so coming into a new church and, oh, so then my legs have to move. Something has to move. Something. My head. I can't sort of wave my hair around. So my body has to move. But I just really felt that there was, and it's not about moving. You can stay in your seat. It's not about that. But boy, some of us are just locked in that. It's not in the seat, but you're just locked in. So when you speak about your love is sing about when your love is relentless. You know what? I just want you to break out of that cocoon and just go off, young people. I reckon there should be a dance-off in church. Last week, we had our kids' church challenge everyone that wasn't in kids' church to a dance-off. So we invited them to come up the front, and we just danced. And it was like old school, you know? Old school song, what was it? Something about the Redeemed. I can't remember. But anyway, it was this old school song. And we just went sick. But you know what happens? It changed the atmosphere in the place. The Bible says that Jesus joys over you with singing. When we worship, and that joy is described as it's like a passionate dance over your life. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't do that. And my history tells me, and I'm from a background that doesn't really do the whole dance in church. I just want to come to church and just be. No worries. You do that. But when Jesus has changed your life and he's rescued you, I just pray that our response is not held together by what we think other people might think of us. Because then our focus is on people. Or your focus is on yourself. Because if I dance, you know, my hair and I got no rhythm and what are people going to say? That focus is you. But when my focus is Jesus. And like I said, you can stand in your seat and have that encounter. or you can just worship and be free to worship and have that encounter. All right. All right. We better get this message started. Yeah. So everything brings Him glory. Bring Him glory in everything that you do. Come on, let Him be the focus of your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all about Jesus. All right, let me tell you about me. Let me put this. This is for those people that just wanted to know about water this morning. Have you had water? Has anyone had it? Who hasn't had a drink of water this morning? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, water. The five functions of water in the human body. Water distributes essential nutrients and minerals and vitamins to cells. Did you know that? Wow. Okay. So I'll say whatever it is, and you'll go, well, okay, like that. You going to help me out? You guys going to help me out? All right. Five functions about water. Listen to this. Water distributes essential nutrients, minerals, and vitamins to cells. Not what. What's very cool and hip. But I want us to go, well. Well, like as in a well, okay? All right, like, well. All right. Two, chemical and metabolic reactions. Water removes waste products that the cells reject. Excellent. Water participates in the biochemical breakdown of the food we eat. Excellent. Water regulates our body temperature. All right, this is our last one. So I need some attitude and some volume on this, okay? Water is the lubricant around our joints, and it acts as a shock absorber for our eyes, our brain, our spinal cord, even the fetus in it through the amniotic fluid. Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about the woman at the well. That's why we're in the whole well theme. AJ, how you doing? Oh, that's freaky. AJ, just stand for a second. Yeah. Yeah. Come on up. You get a clap already. Awesome. No. I'll shake you. I'll shake your hand. AJ, part of why I've done this is not to embarrass you, which I've already succeeded at doing. It's just that God's calling you out. So He picks you out and He goes, and for a while there He's been hidden. For a while there it's just in the background. But now He shines His torch on you. And He highlights you. And I just really feel like the Holy Spirit says, just step into it. Don't excuse it. Don't. Because your personality would go, oh, no. There is a boldness and a confidence that the Holy Spirit wants you to step into. Because if we're worried about what people will think and how we're going to come across and do all of that, wrong focus, miss the focus. What the Holy Spirit's saying is, AJ, I'm bringing you out, calling you out. Now, He already knows your heart. You're not going to be a big head. You're not going to be full of yourself. It's not going to be about you. It's going to be about Jesus in you. But He just wants you to step into that with a confidence and a boldness that maybe, oh, I'm not really sure, God. No. Because there's been a season where you've been the hidden behind. And Isaiah 49 says that, in your quiver have you hid me. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, it's just because of the circumstance or people or what's going on. But there's something that God said, no, that's been part of my hiding. It's been shaping you. Even in the times when you just felt so far from Him that you didn't know what was it. I don't know if I really want this deal. I'm not sure. I don't know what you're feeling. But He just shapes. And now there's a release that's coming. So He pulls you out of the quiver where the other arrows are in order to release you, to shoot you. The reason He shapes you, that if you were to just take you out and shoot you and none of the knots were worked out and none of the little, and it wasn't aerodynamic, it wouldn't hit its target. So nothing in God is ever wasted, nothing in God is ever lost, nothing that you might have gone through in your history has ever been a waste of time. God's used those things to shape who you are, and God's going to just do that, and He's going to release that anointing and release you in order to do that. So don't give excuses to God why you can't. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't know if I can. Gideon tried to do it. Didn't work for him. Yeah? You're called. Be it. Boom. Bless you, man. John chapter 4. A little bit about me. My name's Clinton. That's it. I am married, beautiful wife, 25 years now, Leah. Migrated from South Africa. Oh, funny story. Last funny story. Does anyone ever have the drink Passiona? Is it still around? Is it still around? So when I first migrated to Australia from South Africa with my family, I was 10. It was around about 1978. So my dad used to go to whatever with the markdown trolley in Coles, and he used to buy, and Passiona, for whatever reason, always seemed to be on the markdown. It was either bent or, I don't know. So he'd bring it home. So it would be, Friday night was treat night from the markdown trolley back in 79. It was awesome. Passiona, yes. And I got a liking for Passiona. And then fast forward to year 7 camp in York. Okay, this is going to just disrupt my whole cool facade, but anyway, here we go. I'm not cool. And we were walking around, and it's year 7, and it's year 7 camp, and it's the last night of year 7 camp. And I've been about a year in Australia now, and this lady by the name of Melinda, if your name's Melinda in this place, and it's a great name. I love Melinda. No, I don't. I love Leah, but you know what I mean. And Melinda Wallington, she was the head girl. I was the head boy. She was the head girl. I'm walking past the tent with a few of my friends, past her tent, and she's in there with some girls, and she calls out, "Hey, Clint, do you want to pash on?" You can see where this is heading. I was still getting used to the whole, "Hey, do you want to go around?" Okay, that was the terminology that they would use to ask you to go out with them as boyfriend, girlfriend. I would be going, "Go around what?" "Going around where?" So when she said, "Do you want to pash on means, "Do you want to kiss?" But all I knew was Passiona, drink. So in my coolness, I go, "Oh, no thanks, I'm not thirsty." And what just happened then pretty much happened with all my friends, just laughing, rolling on the floor. "You loser." She was asking for a kiss, and the moment was lost, and I never got a kiss, Melinda. I've been pastoring now for 14 years. 4 years of that I've been doing out at Langford, at C3 Langford. Prior to that, I was in the Foursquare denomination, pastoring a church called Jubilee World Harvest Church, which we planted, pioneered, and we were called the Gypsy Church that moved around. We didn't have a hall, we didn't have a building, so we just met. We met in halls, like community halls and school halls and parks. That was fun. We registered for a hall, and then once we were, and it was the whole big trailer deal set up, lounges, the whole deal, setting it all up nice, setting up the hall nice. And then they told us, "Oh, once a month you can't use it because another group's booked it." So then we started meeting in the park out in Redcliffe. And then we got another place in Cannington, and just God opened up amazing doors for us to move into the area of Langford. And I don't have the time to talk about that today because I've really come to bring a message to you. But what I want to say this about having a facility, if all you see is this, that you come and have a great place to have church in, that's awesome and that's necessary and it's needful. This is your fuel station for the rest of your week, where you come, where you get filled, where you learn how to serve, where you learn how to do life. Do all of that in this house. This is a great training ground for life. It is. It's amazing. Church is an amazing place to be in. It's a great community to be in. And the fact of the matter is that the facility is not just to house you on a Sunday morning. This facility is your launch pad into your community. See, because I know what it was like for almost 10 years to move around and not to have a place that you could call your own, having to set up sound and chairs and every week and then pack it up and people, starting at 7 in the morning and finishing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for a 1.5 hour service from 10 o'clock till 11:30. And so we were grateful when we got a facility, we got a place of our own. And Langford is a place that was a bit, it has been low socioeconomic now. Statistically, it's middle class. And we moved into that place, and the cars were getting broken into, number plates were being stolen, the church building was been broken into. And I had one young lady working with me. And so when I was at a meeting or out of the church, she was obviously afraid. And we found drugs. We still do. We find syringes all through the property at times and different things. So most Sundays we just, because it's a great place to do drive-by and then flick it. And so we most of the time we find stuff like that. But that's not to talk Langford down, because I really believe that the role of the church for God is to, it shines best in darkness. And if God was to elevate the church, he elevates the whole community. That's the thing that I believe. God wants to elevate you, C3 Fremantle, because he wants to elevate this community around you. And he wants to fill you with hope so you can be hope givers out there. And so what we've found that we were going to put up fences around the property and do all of that, which would have sent just totally the wrong message. And God spoke to me and he said, no, build connect to your community. And so we've worked really hard and desperately hard to do all of that. And the thing that I found through all of this is that we now have people walking across our car park calling out PC. Everyone calls me PC, Pastor Clint. And so PC is just the easiest thing. And hey, PC, how you doing? Kids from schools, other people that are just walking across will just greet because we give them food parcels, do whatever else. One of the most exciting things that God is doing through a venue, and this is the exciting thing about venue, our community groups now are hiring it. We had City of Gosnells do Battle of the Bands in it. Why? Because we've got equipment that they don't have to hire that they can use. Oh, caused a bit of rubbish with our neighbors, but it's all sorted now. But the thing is, everything that we do in this place, we should be able to do this in our community. Musos, love how you play, you jam, awesome. But you know what? There are people in your community that would love to learn how to play guitar, even if they don't even know it, just given the opportunity. You got some rooms right here that you could use for dance. We do dance. We do hip-hop dance on a Thursday night for our community. Our schools are using it for meetings with teachers, doing all of that. I'm just saying there are creative ways that you can use this facility to engage your community, to serve them, to love them. Why? Because God has filled you with hope. And don't just, you know, the deal is that we look at the leaders and the pastors to do all of that. No. It's all of us. We're all in this together. We're all in doing this together. There is something that's in your heart that fits in alongside the vision of this church. Bring that to your pastor and say, hey, listen, I reckon we can, you know, I'm feeling I want to do this. And it's not just about using the facility. There is a lot of vision around this place. But the greatest thing is that there is a hurting community around this place. Whether they know they're hurting or not, there's a community without Christ. And so he's put you here in this place for this time right now. And so give your neighbor a high five and say, I hope he finishes his message in time. Are you ready? Okay, that ready just met with a laugh. So there was a bit of like, oh, I'm not sure if he's going to do it. John chapter 4. The woman at the well. We know the story? Yeah. Therefore the Lord knew, verse 1, the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John, because they were really focusing on the big things. Though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. Verse 3, and he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Listen, the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the Word of God, don't switch off. Please don't switch off. Right now, just get your attention in, because when the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is just not boring ink on paper. It's something that's alive. When you sing out, I want more fire, this is the stuff that's going to just ignite that flame on the inside of you. So the amazing design of God is that every word, every full stop, everything that there is designed by the Holy Spirit to actually reveal who Jesus Christ is to us. And so here we see it, that Jesus needed to go. He's done ministry, and all the religious people are getting caught up. Who's baptizing more people? And they're getting caught up who's got the bigger tally. And he just goes, you know what? I just don't even want a part of that. He just moves, because he's about purpose. When purpose is misunderstood, When your purpose is misunderstood, abuse is inevitable. If I didn't understand the purpose of this microphone and decided to use it as an earbud, I guarantee you no one will sing on this microphone ever again. Or if I thought it was something that I could throw up against the wall. It's like a ball. Oh, it'd be like a ball if I just throw it up against the wall. Ah, oh, oops, that's not its purpose. For some of you, people, whether it's been a parent, whether it's been a teacher, sibling, family member, a leader, even ministers, pastors, may have not realized your purpose. And you felt that you weren't used for the very thing that you were designed for. Or where there's been abuse, abnormally used. I was used for someone else's pleasure. I was used because someone else couldn't control. That's not my story, but that could be your story today. And so when people don't understand, when you and I and people around us don't understand our purpose, abuse is inevitable. But as we read today, that your life, this is the purpose of your life. This is the why question. This is the why. This is the answer right here. We're just fast-forwarding and we could end it right here. Is out of that Romans 11:36. Your life is to bring glory to God, no matter what your history has been. Because when we get around purpose, we get to understand what God has called us to do. So Jesus was this man about purpose. He wasn't caught up in the logistics and who's baptizing more. Really, who cares? As long as people are getting baptized, that's awesome. And so he sets his way onto Samaria. Let's keep moving. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. And it was about the sixth hour, about noon. And it says, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, just understand the context of this. Jesus is walking. He knows he needs to go to Samaria to get to the place that he was heading. This is on the way. He's not worried about who's saying what about how many people getting baptized. He comes to this place and he's wearied from his trip and he rests. And then this woman comes. Now, the reason that she's coming, it obviously is presumed that she's an outcast. And we later discover that she's had five blokes, and the one that's on the go is not her husband, and that was really looked down upon in the context of all of that. And sorry, I'm speaking fast to get to the point. And so we see this woman coming because she's a bit of an outcast. But she comes to the well at noon. Everyone else goes early in the morning to get the water for their families, for their cattle, do all of that. And Jesus sees her. Now, the setup in the culture was that you don't talk to these people. They're lower than you. They're a different class than you. But Jesus initiates the conversation. Aren't you glad that Jesus initiated a conversation with you and I? His prevenient grace was looking out for us before we even wanted to have anything to do with him. It was searching us out. And he says to her, give me a drink. Well, I never, Jesus. Can you believe? I mean, I can understand this woman. She's probably not having a good day. She's a bit of an outcast. She's coming here. Maybe it's a normal routine. She comes to the place. Now, in everything, she's had a hard life. We seem to understand through the scripture. Don't you think it would have been better for Jesus going, hey, love, how you going? What's happening in your world? Can I get you a bucket and just get you a drink of water? Have a seat, have a rest. Tell me about you. Oh, awesome. That's really caring. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. I love this about Jesus, because if we read it real quick, we miss it. That he says, hey, woman. Huh? He said to her, he didn't say, hey, woman. He says, give me a drink. And then she begins this conversation with him. She's arcing up a little bit. You don't have a bucket. Get your own, mate. But she gives him a drink. Here's the point. Jesus will never be second in your life. Never. He's either first or he's nothing. See, because when we come to Jesus, we want him to know all our background. We want him to know our hurt. Jesus, I need you to do this for me. Jesus, you know what I've been through. Jesus, you know I've been abused. Jesus, you know what I've gone through. Jesus, you know how hard life is. And sometimes we as Christians use our prayer life to do that. God, you know what I'm going through. You know the struggle. You know this. You know that. And the first thing that Jesus says is, give me a drink. But you're not hearing me, Jesus. I'm trying to tell you. I'm really having a bad day. These people are talking about me. These people... Give me a drink. How do you and I give him a drink? For me personally, is that when I come to him, I come bringing him an offering, bringing him worship, bringing him praise. My time with God is not about me. It's about him with me. It's not about just me being with him. It's about him being with me. And for some of us, for some of you today, it's just that I've spoken to God about all my stuff and nothing's really changed. Nothing's really made a difference. That breakthrough, that healing, that deliverance hasn't come. And Jesus says, hey, listen, would you give me a drink? And she goes through this conversation, and for the lack of time today, she starts talking about, oh, let me find the notes in it. That'll be quicker, because if I start talking, then it'll just be forever again. He starts a conversation about a life. And it gets past the place of where you got to worship. See, because she tried to use religion. She tried to use a culture. It's not right for you to be talking to me, Jesus. It's not right for you to be meeting with me. It's not right for me to be doing this stuff with you. In fact, you're a man and you're a woman. What will people say? And you know what? It would look like that, because she's had five guys. And here it is, a rabbi, a priest. It was bad news for Jesus to be doing what he was doing. People would have looked at him and gone and started accusing him for hanging out with this lady. That was the culture. That was the context. That was the setting of this thing. But he doesn't, he looks beyond that. And that's really I should have probably given you the theme of what I was speaking about. Just look deeper. Look deeper. And Jesus began to look past all of those things. Oh, but, you know, we're going to worship at a certain place. How do you Jews think that what you guys do, are you guys better than us? And I love how Jesus just cuts through everything and he says, listen, what I need from you, I'm speaking to you about is, if you're going to worship me in spirit and in truth. Don't just go through the routine. Find out about the truth of who I am. Because if you knew who was standing in front of you, if you knew who you were talking to right now, I wouldn't be asking you for a drink. You would be asking me. Because the water I want to give you is life everlasting. It's a gift. And we see this woman begin to engage in a conversation. She was so far from God. And I know that as a church, you are looking at how do we impact our community? How do we impact someone's life so that they move closer to God? And we see this through Jesus. So through just a conversation about a situation, began to change her life and brought it to a conversion where she met Jesus. She didn't meet religion. She didn't meet people looking down. She knew what it was for people to look down at her. She knew that. She knew what it was to be discarded. She knew what it was to be left out. But no, what she met was someone that said, this is a safe place. Let's talk. And he leads her through this conversation. And then he asks about her stuff. Notice he didn't ask about her gear right up at the front. Ah, so you've had five guys. He says, listen, why don't you go get your husband? He's your covering. Bring him. Oh, the guy I'm with is not my husband. Thanks for being honest. How cool would it be to be real honest with Jesus? Have you tried it lately in your relationship with him? Just to be honest. I know how to hide stuff. Trust me, I'm a pastor. We know how to hide things. See, because if people really saw who we were, maybe they wouldn't like us. Maybe they'd reject us. Maybe we'd be outcast like this woman was. But see, in Jesus Christ, there is such a safe place for you to come and for you to be with him. And he invites you into that safe place. And he says, let's just talk about it. And today, as we close in the next few minutes, that Jesus would say to you, come on, I'm first. Put me first. I understand the reason you were made. Jesus understands your purpose. And that's why he asked to be first in your life. And he cuts through all the other stuff to get to the point. Tell me about you. And he uncovers all of this stuff in her life. Not to embarrass her, but to set her free. That's how he loves us. That's when we sing about his love is relentless. It's that love. It's not a love to push us down. It's not to find out our stuff so that he could use it to manipulate. It's about a love that brings us into a safe place so that we can open up. And in that room of your heart today where it's been closed off to everyone else, even to God. Why God? Because I was so hurt. If you will allow him to open, if you will open the door, he won't even open it. All he does is this. Can I come in? But God, if you really saw what was on the inside of me, you don't know the hurt. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I was used and abused, God. You don't know. No one saw my purpose. The teacher, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, even myself, God. No one really got that about me. And it's just easier, God, if I just shut it all off and I close it, then it doesn't hurt. If you visit my house during the week, I will invite you into my foyer, into the lounge area, into the kids' area, into the dining area. But do not go close to my bedroom. Because there is something in there that's living on the floor that'll attack you under this whole pile of clothes. And you know how it is when someone visits your home. They can come into the area and it's all nice. And we'll shut the door away and close it and nail it. Because everything's just thrown in that room. And that people are here today, and that's your heart. God, you can come into the foyer. Come in the lounge area. You can see the kitchen. Yeah, we've just had this redone. It's amazing. New furniture. Gone for the minimalist look. What do you think? Oh, your bedroom right there. It's all barred up and closed. Can I have a look? Oh, no. You wouldn't like that. But in the safe place, like he did with this woman, he said, come on, let me have a look. And this is when I talk about clarity and chaos. That amidst her chaos of broken relationships, he spoke word of life into her. And the great thing is that she took that word of life and she went back to her village. Can you imagine that? Walking through embarrassment, walking, oh yeah, she comes that, you know, she's going to try. Because the Bible says she goes and chats to the guys. All those wives of those guys would go, oh, punch you in the head. Come here, my man. Sorry, and I know I'm way over time. And she comes to Jesus, and she goes to the village. But just before she does, the disciples come back with the food. Oh, Jesus, we bought you some KFC. Oh, no, you're on a diet. Sorry, we bought you some paleo stuff, and I hope you like it. And it's gonna lots of greens and lots of color, and you know, because the lactose thing, and what, not that Jesus had that. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Bought you all this food. Let's chow down, or let's have something to eat. And God says, this is my food right here. Giving people life is what gives me life. Church, and that's God's word for you. Musicians, why don't you come on up? Because then people will think we're finishing. Did I say that out loud? Sorry. Listen to this. And I'll close with this. The last verse in verses 38 of John chapter 4. It says, I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Church, God has sent me with a word for you today. And my apologies for not getting it all in there. We sort of went for the whole abbreviated version. Read the story. It's amazing. Take time out with God's word. It gives life. It does. It does. I know it's hard. I know it's a bit boring. But take time out with it. And he'll speak to you. I guarantee you. I would bet you $100 if we were allowed to do that in church. God will speak to you through his word. And he said, this is the word that I was going to just say for you guys. God's sending you forth as a church. There's a harvest right now. The disciples were worried about the food. And he says, come on. Lift your eyes. Look. Look a bit deeper. Look a bit further. See, because he looked deeper into this woman's life. He didn't just see what was on the surface. It's so easy for us to see and judge people by what we see, by what we see about the surface stuff. But Jesus says, just take a little bit of a look. Look a bit deeper. Hey, disciples, don't get caught up in just what you're doing. How it looks and how everything's right. Got to be perfect. No. Look a little bit further. And as they lifted their eyes, they began to see the people coming. And I love this story because these guys that came, I'm sure they brought their families. Hey, Jesus, we believed you because of what she said. But now we believe because we've heard. Why don't you stand to your feet? His love is relentless. Why don't you just bow your head for a moment? His love is relentless. His love is relentless. I just want you to feel his love today. That safe place with you and God. Come on, you don't have to perform. But it's in that place, is that's where he ignites your passion for him. Because there's a way that you've been getting water for years. Turn up to church, turn up to church, turn up to youth group. But there is something deeper that God wants to do. Such a sustaining life to enter you. Father, I pray for your people today. For the water that is a gift from you, that is life-giving, that'll cause us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let that be their portion today. In Jesus' name. Just receive it right now, church. Every one of you, just God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. Come on, you've brought him, you've given him to drink. Come on, right now, he's saying, this water I'm giving you. But this is to energize you, to equip you, to propel you into the harvest. Come on, go reap the harvest, he says. Go get it. Go get it. There is a harvest in your family for some people today. Some people, it's a harvest at your work. This is that one person that God is going to give you an opportunity right now to speak to. That one person. Doesn't have to be the whole community straight away, but I believe that it's going to be like a gushing of a well that will literally just hydrate this whole community. But we're just looking for that one person. It's not about you having every word or every answer to every question that you think they'll ask. It's just about you having a conversation. Tell them what Jesus means to you and what he's done for you. That's it. So if you're willing to do that, what I'm going to ask you is just to raise your hand. if you're willing to be used by God, this is not an altar call for salvation. This is about you saying, God, give me one person, one person. I'm going to look for one person to reach for you. Come on, just if that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. Come on, you're doing this beforehand. I'm not even looking. I don't know. Between you and him. We sang about raising the broken to life. Come on. God, this week I want to reach just to one person that doesn't know you. If that is you, pop your hand straight up in the air. Come on. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you see every hand. Whether it's that checkout chick, Lord God, or that person that works behind the counter of wherever, or the person I work with, or someone that I live with. Today, Lord God, cause that conversation to happen by your Spirit that will lead them closer to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can put your hand down. We're going to say this prayer together, church. It's just a prayer of inviting Christ into our life. We're going to say it all together. I want to invite you, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, this is your moment right now. This is your moment of encounter with him. This is your moment right now where you say, Jesus, today I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving you my life first. If you've walked away from God, we call it backslidden in church jargon. But I'm just not in close relationship with him anymore, Pastor Clint. And today I want to make that right. If that is you in this place, we're going to pray this prayer together as a church. Everyone, musos on your microphones, singers on your microphones, we're going to pray this prayer together. I'll say a few words and then you'll repeat it after me. Heavenly Father,
today,
I ask you that you would give me your life in exchange for mine. Father, I thank you that you will be my Father. And that you will love me enough to forgive all my sin, to heal all my woundedness, to break every chain over my life, throughout my history. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, as my God and my King. And I choose this moment to follow you with my life, with every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.